Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pixels Podcast, the podcast where you come back weekly and we report on video game news, reviews, and impressions. I am Christian Travis, and with me I have Sophia Wood.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sophia. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Not much. I'm just, waking up on this fine Sunday morning and hanging out. How are you doing over, I believe you said you're visiting some family this weekend.
I am. I'm in Kent this week, so my audio is going to be really bad because I didn't bring anything with me.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. We'll get back to the slightly better audio next week. And, but I'm happy you made the time to record this week. Thank you so much for taking the time out of the day.
You're very welcome that I grace you with my presence.
Oh God. Yeah. Cause just because you're overseas means you're the queen of England over there. So we're going to stick to the normal structure that we normally do for each week. This might be a slightly shorter episode. I believe we don't have too much in news from between Wednesday and now Sunday. We're going to start again with our news, and then we'll talk about where we've been playing. Spoiler alert, I haven't really been playing much, but
I haven't been playing anything other than Outer Worlds again.
All right. Well, we'll get to that when we get to that. But anyway, since I opened up today, why don't I start and then you'll go?
Sure.
Okay. So, this week we actually had a few things come out, video game wise, which I thought was interesting. So one of the most anticipated games, Death Stranding, was released. And it's getting some very mixed reviews. Sophia, you've heard of Death Stranding, right?
I've seen a lot of stuff about it, just on social media, really. And I've seen a lot of people really like it. So,
yeah. So, here's the thing. This came from, it's Hideo Kojima. I believe it's just Kojima Productions or whatever his Kojima Studios is the name of his company.
Mm-hmm.
Basically for the last 3 years he's been teasing information about this game, whether it be big little things. Overall, it's really left people questioning what this game really is, and now that it's out there's been some very mixed reviews. Most notably, I watched the IGN video review, and then I read the article afterward just to see, in detail what he wrote. And it didn't score too well. Let me see the verdict. If I could pull it up, I have it right here. So, this little part in the verdict says, certain landmark games in the recent years, like The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Red Dead Redemption 2, have managed to successfully tread the line between the rigidity of realism and the exhilaration of pure escapism. But much like its stumbling protagonist, Death Stranding just can't consistently get the balance right, despite possessing equally lofty ambition and countless inventive ideas. And then it goes on. So, basically, this game is very odd because it's not combat focused. It's more, the way people have been describing it is that it is like a walking sim / delivery sim.
Oh, where, okay.
Yeah, it's like weird. So, basically, I guess, and I could be wrong. I do plan on playing this game. I tried my hardest not to spoil too much for me until I heard all this, all these reviews come out.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm wrong, someone can correct me. Leave a comment on whatever freaking podcast net podcast thing you're listening on. From what my understanding is, you're kind of like playing as this delivery guy who's trying to connect the remains of the world together by delivering stuff. And there's different obstacles that get in your way. It could either be like a full-on land obstacle where you have to like go to point A to point B, but then you have to put another point like somewhere else because you have to go there to get around the obstacle. Or it could be full-on like these demon creatures, which like you have to tread lightly around, and most people tend to avoid combat. But from what I'm hearing, especially from this IGN review, oh, let me also, just while I'm here, there's this one thing that they said in it, which, this review was also written by Tristan Olivine. Basically, the one thing that he did mention was there's, like, little things throughout this game that make it, feel not as, I guess, cohesive. It just doesn't all flow correctly. Like, one of the biggest things that he talked about was, like, the fast travel system, where, basically, if you want to teleport from point A to point B, you have to walk to an area, your local area, and then that walk can be 2 minutes, that walk can be 20, 30 minutes just walking to the fast travel point. And then when you finally get there, there's, like, three different scenes that like, cutscenes that appear before you're even available to walk. To teleport. So he's, like, that kind of ruined the experience. And then throughout, there's, like, the same, like, I forget the name of the character, but it's played by Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, I believe. And there's, like, this one scene where he's showering. And, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people would skip that. But then people were finding out that certain things could happen during the shower scene that help, like, give you details on the world and stuff like that. So it had people sitting there watching the same shower scene over and over again, like 50 times, because they were afraid they were going to miss a piece of the story.
Okay.
So there's like little things like that. And then it's really funny because when you're like transporting certain things across the country, it has kind of like that weight system that you see in RPGs, like freaking Outer Worlds and Fallout, except it's like worse. Like, you have to balance the stuff. Like, there's no dropping anything if it's too heavy. You have to learn how to balance the items you're using, you're bringing with you, because they all have to get to the location that you're bringing them to. And like, you could fall off a cliff if you're unbalanced. You can trip and fall on the floor. You could like, it's basically like when they say walking sim, they aren't really exaggerating by much. Because, you know, you're just trying to balance yourself out without falling and damaging your goods.
It does not sound like a game I'm interested in. Like, I've become more and more less interested in this game. It sounds just like a colossal waste of time. Because I haven't had a single thing of being like, oh my gosh, this character's really good. Or this plot twist is really good. It just sounds like a game that's made to waste your time.
And I think there's a certain, like, for the review-wise, I think there's certain things that, like, factor into these people's reviews, because, like, this is the first game in a while that Kojima has released, I think since Metal Gear, if I'm not incorrect. But, basically, I think there were high standards in general, and this didn't live up to too many people's expectations. Mm-hmm. But then also there's the flip side where people are like, people who love Kojima's work, they're going to love anything he puts out there.
I think,
you know?
The issue is, from what I've heard, is they didn't make a video game, they made art. Right?
Yes. Yes, 100%. I agree.
And I think
with you.
For me, I don't want art, I want a video game.
No, you're right. And I guess this could also lead into that conversation where people are like, how is one to rate artwork?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when a consumer's money is involved, then you have to. But yeah, basically, mixed reviews. I don't think I'm going to put my money out there to buy it. But it might be, like, one of those things that, like, if someone's like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I might just be like, hey, pick me up this game, you know? Like,
yeah. I'm not going to spend the money. That sounds like something. I think there's loads of games out there that are on my list that I want to play. I think that one can just go to the bottom of my list.
Yeah. Like, that will be one of the things, like, if you're on, like... oh, and by the way, eventually this game is going to make its way on PC, but they have yet to announce what launcher it's going to be going to. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not until, like, 8 months from now. But yeah, like, if I see... If either, A, someone asks me what I want this holiday season, and I just tell them that, I'll play it then. Or B, if, like... months and months from now, if it's on sale for like $30 or even less, then I might pick it up, you know. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because that game's very important, like in media wise, because it's been something people have been looking forward to for so long. But for anybody listening, if this has been a game that you've been looking forward to and have been trying to avoid information about it, I do highly suggest to read a couple of reviews. There's a lot of non-spoiler reviews involved. Just make the decision yourself. Some games like this appeal to a lot of people. Some games don't. So, you know, just think about it before you shove out your money.
Okay.
Anyway, Sophia, how about you go for your next story?
I'm going to talk about Steam. There's a few pieces of news that came out this week. First, EA games are coming back to Steam. The rumor started last week when EA tweeted a picture of a mug with the EA logo, and people thought that meant because the drink was steaming hot, it returned to Steam. And I was like, well, hold on. Literally, the story I was going to open with was that doesn't make any sense. Like, I guess, but not really. But then, later on, they did officially announce that they were joining Steam. So I guess that is what that meant, which is like,
that is okay.
That's random.
I guess you were right.
Yeah, just like, okay, I guess.
I'm not happy about it, but you're right.
But you still need Origin to play them. So okay. It sounds like even if you buy it on Steam, pressing the play button is just going to open Origin, which then opens the game.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It is weird. That's just how they're doing it, I guess. Jedi Fallen Order will be the first EA game to be released on Steam.
I can't wait for that game to come out.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one too. I really hope they do a good job because, you know, Star Wars.
We need a good Star Wars game.
And we do need a good Star Wars game, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Steam has a new look. It's updated its library.
Oh, yeah?
A quote from PC Gamer says, "It looks better, more information like playtime and achievements more clearly visible, and offers more organization and customization options than the old joint. Most of the changes are released to Steam's social aspects than its storefront, making it easier to see what your friends are playing. For instance, making in-game events easier to keep up with, and even if... oh my gosh, I just lost my place. So it's a huge improvement. They made like a whole list, but it's a big improvement. I took a look at it. I find it a little bit confusing personally, but that might just be because I'm looking at something completely different. It did. I had loads of games hidden because I downloaded lots of free games, try it out, and then just hide them because they're terrible or I'm done with them. And it unhid all my games. So now I have to go through it and figure out what I wanted archived, what I wanted hidden. That sort of thing, which is really annoying.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. But it does actually looks more, I guess, official is a way to put it. So I think I need to play around with it, but it looks okay. I mean, it's not a big, if you don't use Steam, this isn't like a reason to start using Steam. Just use whatever you use, but it looks okay. I'll give them that. It looks okay, and it did need a revamp. So
is it just like a lot of quality of life updates, essentially, right?
Yeah, it just
a better look.
Yeah, it does look better. It looks more clean, more official. It lets you, I think it may make the icons are a little bit like wider, and it shows the game art. And it again, like you said, like it shows more achievements and information about it. So
cool.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty cool. So as you said, it wouldn't be a reason to switch to Steam. It's just a better way to use Steam.
Yeah.
If you're a fan. Okay. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah. So your turn next.
Cool. Okay. So as I said earlier, there's a lot of games that came out Another one that I want to touch up upon is Luigi's Mansion 3, which I do intend on playing as well. I'll probably be picking that up in like a week when I get paid from work. But this one has been getting some pretty good reviews. So IGN gave this one an 8.3, and that was given by Ryan McCaffrey. Ooh, I love Ryan McCaffrey's work. So I personally do trust any information he puts out there. From hearing and reading and looking around about this game, this is a good return to form for Luigi's Mansion. So the first Luigi's Mansion on GameCube, it gave it a more, I'm not going to say open world feel, but it wasn't super structured. Like you can go room to room, you can go basically anywhere in the mansion, and you know, it was up to you to explore. The second one that came out on the DS, I think because of the DS limitations, it was structured mission-wise, so you were basically given a mission by Professor Egad and plopped into a mansion, and then once you completed that mission, you were done with that mansion. And a lot of people didn't like it too much. But this one goes back to that a little closer to that, you know, the original situation where it's more, it encourages you to explore more. That being said, it is said that after you finish a level or a floor in this mansion, there's not much reason to go back and explore other than getting like collectibles throughout. So overall, reception for this game has been has done pretty well. So from what I heard, this is like this score for IGN is like a happy medium. It sits perfectly between the original Luigi's Mansion and the 3DS game. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, that's what it is. I don't know why it was escaping me for the time being. They added new mechanics. Like, you have, if you play with a second player, they can control Gooigi, which is a new ability that the Poltergust that you're given has, where you could summon like a plasma looking Luigi to play with you, and he has less health, but it regenerates over time. There's a new slam mechanic where you can basically, when you're sucking up a ghost, you can like slam them against other ghosts or against objects and stuff just to like tire them out and help yourself whittle down their, I guess, health. I definitely am going to pick this up at some point soon. It'll be a fun game to play with the siblings, and just, you know, it seems like I wish they would have put it out maybe a little earlier, because it got released on Halloween. Mm-hmm. Just so people can get into that, you know, spooky season feeling. So like, people who were really excited for this had to like stop what they're doing and make sure they stopped and picked up a copy of this game. And if you can't control yourself like me, you probably played it sporadically throughout the day, which other than that, I think it's going to do really well. I don't think it's going to do any record-breaking numbers, but I think it's going to like sit well. Like, it's going to establish the franchise just a little better at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, just to wrap that up, Ryan McCaffrey, in his verdict paragraph where he gives his final thoughts, he said, "Mario, it turns out, isn't the only plumber in Nintendo's that Nintendo employs who can carry his own great game. Luigi's Mansion 3 is so much fun, so charming, and so smartly designed that moving forward, I really hope we get more than three of these games every 20 years. It's absolutely the best Ghostbuster game ever made. It just happens the star Mario's scaredy cat brother rather than Petey Vackman's and Ray." I can never pronounce their names, but he's talking about the Ghostbusters. He enjoyed it a lot, and I hope other people get to enjoy it.
Nice.
Yeah, so why don't I pass the baton back over to you, Sophia? You can go on with your next story, because I know you're probably excited about talking about this.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about another game that came out. After Party came out on Halloween, a game that both of us have been excited for, especially me, after I loved Oxenfree. So I'm going to read a few reviews. I haven't actually been able to play it yet because I've been so busy. But from The Verge, throughout After Party, there's an ongoing mystery about the game's pair of leads. They've died, but why have they gone to hell? Surrounded by serial killers, bigoted robbers, and people who insisted on using only the express checkout lanes at grocery stores, the answer could be anything. Or perhaps, as Satan suggests, it's far simpler. What did you do to deserve anything else? Which I like. Have you ever watched The Good Place?
I have not. That's on my backlog of things to watch.
But I feel like it's kind of similar where the leads are there and they're kind of like, why are we here? And the answer isn't really why. In the first season, it's more like, well, you didn't do anything to not be. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's kind of similar of like,
yeah.
What do you do / didn't do to go to either place? Gotcha. You should watch it. I don't want to spoil it now because you need to just watch it.
I will.
Much like spooky teen thriller Oxenfree, Night School's debut title, After Party, plays out a narrative-heavy game that unfolds through dialogue choices and light puzzles. So I've heard pretty good things. Most of it I won't repeat because we've gone over it before, where it looks good, it's funny humor, the characters are great. The only bad thing I've seen repeated a lot in reviews is that your choices are less impactful than Oxenfree, which is really unfortunate because Oxenfree, the choices really mattered for the end. And this one, it sounds like it's kind of going to be, no matter what you choose, you're going to get through the story that they want you to. Like, you're going to complete the quest. It doesn't matter if you act like a drunk idiot or a normal smart person. Like, you're just going to finish it no matter what, which I'm, like, upset about, I guess, because I haven't played it, so I can't really be like, I wanted this specifically to matter or this.
Of course.
But Oxenfree was a game of choices. Like, everything mattered. The dialogue mattered for your friends' relationships. The mini game kind of thing where you have to kind of do what the ghosts want you to do, that matters if you do well or don't do well. There's like the ending is literally your choices being played back. So this one I was hoping to be more similar to that, where it actually matters what you do and how you get out. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, I do still really want to play it because I loved Oxenfree and this sounds as close as I'm going to get. But it sounds also like they've taken a small step backwards.
Yeah, I totally... I think overall, though, when creating a game, you have to take into consideration the story you do want to tell.
Yeah.
And if you want an end result to happen, there's ways around it to make it seem like the player or the consumer feels like they made those choices to lead to that moment. But if it's not done well enough, then you could seem like you're playing into like a little corner, like exactly how this game feels for some people. Like, you have to do certain things or your choices don't matter. But that being said, I do think because Oxenfree did have this whole your choice matters situation, and that kind of became like the I want to say, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you know,
I've got, like, no idea.
Like, you associate that gameplay with the developer. So when you get a new game, that's kind of what you expect at that point.
Well, I think
point.
It's like, if it was another game, I don't think it would have mattered, but that was their thing. Like, the choices, that was the style that they decided to use, and they said that they were going to do something similar with this game. So I'm disappointed that they haven't been able to live up to their expectations that they set themselves. It's kind of like, I don't know, if you get a Pokemon game, but you can't collect... No, I don't want to say you can't collect Pokemon anymore, because that's like all of Pokemon, but maybe they take away Pokemon types. Like, you wouldn't have noticed if it was another game, but because it's Pokemon, you're like, why is this big part of it missing?
Yeah, I get that. That being said, I'm sure it's still a great game. I'm still gonna try it.
I'm still gonna buy it.
I have no doubt. I literally told you before we recorded, I downloaded it. I haven't gotten a chance to play it.
I'm so jealous.
I'll probably be playing it tonight before the end of the day. And then we could talk about that more next week when we get to what we're playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to it. I hope it does well. I should have pulled up a review for that, but maybe I'll touch upon that next week. Maybe you can talk about it. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So, speaking of, once again, another game that came out, we have one of the most popular franchises in video game history just dropped another video game. So, Call of Duty Modern Warfare just came out. And I personally have never gotten into the Call of Duty franchise. I've played, the first game I played was Black Ops, but that was when I was super young and only had a Wii, so it was the Black Ops version of Wii. It did not run well.
That sounds really bad.
Yeah, you had to use the pointer for that, and it kind of turned me off for my first impression. And then my second impression of it was, Call of Duty Ghosts on the Wii U, which is known to be one of the worst Call of Duty games, like, in the franchise. So, I have not gotten my hands on a good Call of Duty game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess since they're, like, rebooting Modern Warfare, because this doesn't have a number, it's looking pretty good, though. The realism is there. People are enjoying a lot of the story. It's a little controversial because the way they paint certain people during the war and stuff like that. I do not want to touch upon those kind of ethics. I'm just talking strict video games. But the gameplay is good. The story is having people play through the whole campaign, and even some people who don't usually play Call of Duty just for multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that's cool. The only complaint that I've been seeing is that the maps for multiplayer seem to be a mixed bag. So some are really good, some are really bad, and
but I think that's you're gonna get that with most games, right?
Yeah, but I feel like whenever you're looking at like a franchise like this, it's like you're always gonna get people nitpicking when they perfect certain things. They're always gonna look at the more negative things. But I even heard the sound design was pretty crazy. So
what?
I'm literally looking at the Kotaku article that's titled, "The footsteps in Call of Duty Modern Warfare are so damn loud."
That's weird.
That's actually pretty funny because, you know, I think the bottom line of this article is just a little harder to sneak up on people.
Yeah.
Especially if you're wearing headphones. So, which is kind of like, you know, if you're in real war, it's going to be hard to sneak up on someone. You can't just, like, float behind them. So I think they're doing a real good job with realism. Maybe I will pick it up. I think this will be another one of those games where someone asks me what I want for the holidays. I'll suggest that. But
yeah.
Or if it goes on sale or something, I'll give it a shot. But, you know, glad to see that the franchise is still thriving and they're still delivering some pretty good games.
Should I pick
yeah.
up?
Yeah, why
this
not?
One's going to be really short because it's not even really news. It's Secret Neighbor is a new multiplayer social horror game where a group of intruders try to rescue their friends from neighbor's creepy basement. Only problem is one of the intruders is the neighbor in disguise. So this
That's
is an
pretty funny.
Yeah, this is an expansion to Hello Neighbor. Again, it's not new. I just thought I wanted to like throw it out there because I've seen a lot of it recently and we didn't like mention it when it first came out.
Yeah, so it's got some I totally didn't see it. I think it flew under my radar.
Yeah, it really did. I didn't even know it was out until recently. Then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, this has been a thing for a while. So
yeah.
It's got some great reviews actually, and it sounds more exciting than the original game. I really like that idea of it being multiplayer because the whole idea of Hello Neighbor is that the game learns as you play. So
yeah, that AI is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I remember when I bought it, I was pretty impressed with it. It picks up, like, if you broke into its house and from, like, a window,
Yeah.
And, like, you got caught, the next time you try to break through that house, the window, he will know to check there. Like, it's really weird how well they programmed that AI.
So, yeah, that's what, so, like, the multiplayer is a really interesting choice because the person you're playing with, I guess, like, the people can learn themselves. So I guess, like, the people are doing the AI's job. I find it really cool. I think this is something I'd like to check out and play with people more than I'd like to play the game by myself.
Well, if you ever pick it up, let me know. I'll pick up the expansion. So
great,
and then we could play it together. We can maybe we'll stream that. We keep talking about stuff to stream, but we're always so busy. To stream. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe one day I'll just start streaming randomly, and I'll make us an account and stuff, and then I'll just be like, "Hey, I created this thing." Yeah, I was about to say, I'll be like, "Hey, I created this account. If you ever feel like playing video games, just stream it while you play."
Sounds great.
But yeah, so I look forward to playing that too. I always like when people play around with that formula with multiplayer games, like the 1v3 or 1v4 games. So I would definitely check this out.
You're next then.
Yeah, like, give me one second, I'm just pulling up. Okay, so this article I just thought is like, it made me happy to see. I just like to see when Nintendo succeeds, so I brought it up. This also comes from Kotaku. This is by Brian Ashcraft. And basically, Nintendo Switch sales are up 50%.
Great, I guess, yeah. For capitalism.
Yeah, it's pretty much, since they launched the new Lite, sales have gone up for both the Lite, and obviously because it's just released, but as well as the original Switch model, which is pretty nice. And you're going to see this continue to go up as we get into the holiday season, because people are not only buying Switches, but they could be buying multiple Switches for multiple kids in their family. But yeah, just wanted to bring that up. You got two more things, right? I got one more thing after this.
Okay. So my thing is that Ubisoft, we're going to touch on that again. We did talk about it last week, so this can be really short. So following the underwhelming launch of Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Ubisoft is now reflecting on its process for approving games and is trying to make internal company changes. So I think an interviewer reported, the conversations I've had with people is that Ubisoft is changing their mentality big time. Now it's all about, you had to pitch your game as being super unique and having a unique aspect to it. So this sounds like it should be good, you know, like different games, more unique, maybe hopefully we'll get different play styles, different ways, different types of games that they're releasing. However, the thing that was wrong with Ghost Recon wasn't that it wasn't unique, it was just a bad game. It was bad quality. They didn't release a good game. It wasn't too unique or whatever. So this doesn't really make sense to me, because that isn't fixing the issue. It's not even coming close to the issue.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even want to touch Ubisoft. Right now, they made some poor decisions, and
I think it's honestly, it looks disheartening. Like, yeah, it looks like we are watching the downfall of a company here who can't make good decisions to save themselves. This just reeks of desperation. Press release wise, they're saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna make games like unique. Please buy them," kind of thing. Not our bad. We're gonna make them better.
Yeah, you know, they've been doing some weird stuff. Like at one point, like just a month ago, they mentioned that they weren't really focusing on the Switch for their platform wise, and now that they seem that they changed their minds, they're going to start releasing stuff on the Switch. They according to them, they're looking back at like their back catalog to see what they have to for games that are doing successful, and porting it over. Then they're releasing games that aren't going too well. Then they're delaying all their games. So like it's just, I don't think by any point the company's going to close down. I think they're going to be 100% fine no matter what happens. Because there's so many different outlets for money, especially with just like Sims in general. They have Sims, right? Yeah, yeah, they have Sims. I don't know why my brain just turned off for a second. They have that. They have the Just Dance franchise, which they're still releasing games on the Wii for, which is wild because such a big portion of their audience was focused and geared towards the Wii, so it makes sense that they're still supporting it. It's just crazy.
No, I wouldn't say that this is like, oh, they're gonna shut down, but I think we're gonna be seeing some, if they can't get their shit together, we're gonna be seeing some major changes and shifts, and they're gonna be losing a lot of just customers and
That and revenue. Once the money stops coming in as much, that they're gonna start noticing, because it's just, it's something they gotta clean up. Like, a lot of people are displeased, especially people who are lifelong, company followers. But, you know, over time, we'll find out how things turn around. Hopefully, they can reinvent this Ghost Recon game. They're literally rebuilding it from the ground up now. So, I don't know how that's gonna turn out for consumers, but, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
All right, you're up.
Okay, so my last story, I just want to close out with this. It has to do with BlizzCon 2019. So I know there's been controversy with a Blizzard in the recent weeks. I don't want to touch upon that. We talked about it briefly the other day. Not the other day, a couple episodes ago. I mainly just want to focus on the game. Games they announced. So they announced Diablo 4, which is coming out, which is great. They've been teasing this game for a while, so it's nice to see that it's finally coming into fruition, and people are going to be able to play that game. They also confirmed Overwatch 2, which is going to be super big for the Overwatch franchise. People love that game in general, and now they're going to get a sequel to it.
See, I haven't really heard good things about Overwatch 2, though. I've heard it's a lot like Overwatch 1.
Well, very, very much so. Like, I don't know too much about the Overwatch franchise, but I do think, I actually was going to bring up that it begged the question, like, was Overwatch already being supported well enough that they didn't need an Overwatch 2? Because people are like, are these updates that could have been easily patched in through, like, DLC or just, like, overall, like, you know, just something you could have added to the original game?
Yeah.
What I have seen is it will introduce new maps and characters, and will also be including a new PvP competitive mode push and a new story centric gameplay, which actually I wouldn't mind playing an Overwatch story game, because I remember when Overwatch was initially announced, people thought that it was going to be like, there was going to be a story aspect to it, and I'm forgive me if I'm wrong, I don't think there is that big of a story aspect to the game, if any at all. So it's nice that fans do get that. But yeah, so I completely understand why people are like kind of like hit or miss for this, because they don't know if they if this is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then other than that, they announced World of Warcraft Shadowlands, and then I think that's all they really announced.
Okay, so a mixed bag, I think.
Yeah. So, Sophia, I know you have to go soon. You have some family stuff to take care of. Did you want to just mention your topic, and then we'll leave it out there? We'll talk about it more next episode?
It's just one little bit. Fallout 76 refunds offered in Australia as ZeniMax admits it likely misled customers. So I just thought this was crazy that in Australia, if you bought Fallout 76 at a certain time, you're going to get a full refund because pretty much the game was so bad. Yeah. And that is a court order.
Yeah, you know, that again, we'll touch more upon this next week, but when people have to get involved outside of the video game franchise, video game medium, then you know it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But you know,
it was the servers and the lagging and the graphic and the visual problems. It was just crazy that they messed up that badly.
Yeah, you know, this game is, I think, is just bad luck. It's not going to do that well, no matter how much effort you put in.
No.
And it's a shame that we live in a time where you could update something so much throughout the time of its, like, life cycle of the game. But once once it gets to a certain point and people aren't interested, they're not going to go back to that product to see if it changed. They're going to be like, oh, I'm not, this doesn't interest me, and then leave it as is, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so let's just talk for 5 minutes about what we've been playing, and then we'll wrap it up and leave it there. So guys, stay tuned. We're just gonna take a quick 5 second break, and then we will come back with some new information about the games we're playing. Sound good, Sophia?
Sounds good.
All right. Back. Hey guys, thank you guys so much for staying with us for this time. So we are just going to do a quick 5 minute, 5-6 minute explanation of what we've been playing. Nothing has really changed for us this week. And once again, Sophia is visiting family out of her area, so we're going to try to get her off as soon as possible. Sophia, why don't you go first? Because then I, gauging whatever you say, I could just decide what I want to talk about and what I don't.
So I've still been playing Outer Worlds, and I think this says a lot about the game where it's kept my attention for this long, because that never happens. Yeah. I don't really have anything new to say about it. I'm still playing it through. I think it's one of the games that just keeps getting better as your character can kind of level up and get stronger. There's more guns, there's more options, there's different fighting styles, so a lot of times you can, like, just go around things instead of going right through them. You have to play smarter, not harder. So it's it's really quick, just a shout out to that game being as good as it is.
Are there any, like, without spoiling anything, is there any big, like, story, like, things that have happened, like the big decision you make towards the beginning about power? That's all I'm gonna say about
that. There is a few things of, like, who, when you get valuable information, you can choose who to sell it to. Another one where you can kind of pick, I think it always goes back to capitalism. So it's kind of like who you pick on that, those types of choices. Of, there was one where someone's striking, so you have to choose to, like, get them to come back to work or to help them out. Those sort of things. So I think it comes down to what type of game you want to play. If you want to kind of make those moral decisions, you're just like, how do I get the most money out of this? And I've been playing as more of a, how do I get the most money out of this? And I'm interested to see how that comes back to kind of bite me, where they're like, well, you've been a terrible person, so we're not going to help you or something.
Oh my God. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I look forward to playing more of that, because I've been so crazy running around within the last week, so I haven't gotten much time to play it more, but I'm going to play that. I got to play After Party. Things are just coming out left and right. Like, I have to pick up Luigi's Mansion next weekend. And before we know it, in another, I think, a week and a half, we're going to get the new Pokemon games.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play that. Like, it's just crazy. But, anyway, basically for me, when I have had time, I've tried to play a little bit more of Outer Worlds. But mostly, since I'm going place to place a lot, I've been bringing my Switch around, and I've been catching up on, not really catching up because I know what happens, but I've been playing Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, because
nice.
I beat Let's Go Eevee a while ago, and then I bought both games when they came out, and I just never finished Pikachu. So I figured, in case there's any Pokemon I want to bring over to my new game, in that game, I might as well catch them now and get that all situated while I'm going place to place, in order to, pass the time, play some video games, and cover my bases, you know? But yeah, basically, that's all I've really been playing. We could talk about, a week from now, hopefully we'll both have time to play something more interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll play. I'm playing After Party this week for sure. I'm sure you're going to play something out there. You're going to play it eventually.
I will.
It's not.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, so let's leave it there, guys. And I just once again want to bring up, if anybody's interested, we do have a Facebook page called the Pixels Podcast. We have the Instagram page at the Pixels Podcast. We have the Twitter page, the Pixels Podcast. And is there any other things that I'm missing? I feel like I'm forgetting.
No, I think we're good.
I mean, yeah. So if you're listening to us on your podcast platform of choice, make sure to give us a follow. If you're on Spotify, a review on either any platform. It really helps us get ourselves being seen. And we really appreciate you guys sticking around for the shorter episode of the podcast. We'll try to hit an hour again next week. And worst case scenario, Sophia's been traveling. We'll do it the following week. We're not too worried about it. Let us know any games you're interested in us hearing us talk about on our Facebook page. And hopefully we'll see you guys again, or hear you guys again, next week. Sounds good, Sophia?
All right. See you guys later.
All right. We'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.